Welcome to
So This Is Love.
My name is Aaron.
And my name's Leslie. And this is like for real episode 40.
For real episode 40.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm counting properly now.
Okay.
And just like we told you last week, we are not doing journal entries.
Because there are Denny. There aren't any.
Leslie, who was super obsessed with journaling while we were dating, after we got engaged, it kind of, you know, fell off the map, but with wanting to make out with me all the time.
And no, it was called, we got engaged and a whirlwind began of things that needed to happen.
And that's what we're going to talk about. So there's a lot of things, there are a lot of things that go into planning a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Like setting the date and invitations and all those crazy, ridiculous things. And as Leslie mentioned last week, she's not one of those girls who grew up already having these things planned out since she was five.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Not at all.
So what, we got engaged, right? Uh-huh. And aside from all the making out and, you know, other fun stuff that was going on, we had to set a date.
Yes. And we had to do it quickly because we wanted to get married quickly.
Yes. And so I proposed in July.
In July.
27th?
Mm-hmm.
July 27th. And
June.
June. Yeah, I was like, July was when we became boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yes, June is when you proposed.
June is when I proposed, because it was 11 months. It wasn't exactly a year.
Right.
So it was June, and we had been counseled that, you know, once you decide you're going to get engaged, 6 months is a good allotment of time.
To plan.
To plan, to get everything done. Anything longer than 6 months...
They just didn't recommend it.
Yeah.
Because we were more liable to get ourselves in trouble. Which was very true.
Yeah.
Do things that only married people should be doing.
And so we thought, okay, we definitely want to get married this year. We both love the fall.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, in our area, the fall is hurricane season.
Right.
So we settled on October.
October 10th.
For the month.
Mm-hmm. For the month, yes.
For the month. And then we looked at the month and the weeks, you know, and what else was planned and, you know, what else was going on. And we settled on the first 2 weeks of October.
Mm-hmm.
And then very quickly we narrowed it down to, well, since it was those first 2 weeks, it was the first two weekends.
Right.
And we ended up deciding on October 10th.
October 10th.
Which was awesome for me because as most people know, men are not famous for remembering special dates.
Hmm. Well, but I had you trained pretty well.
You did. And 10-10,
uh-huh.
Super easy.
Yes.
10-10.
Yes.
10-10-220.
10-10.
Do you remember? No, you don't remember?
Oh, 10-10-220. Oh, my goodness. I was like, what are you talking about?
No, it was 10-10-08.
Yes.
Then we got married. So I was super excited about that because I used 10-10.
All right.
Wedding anniversary. Done. Yep. And that gave us about 3.5 months to really plan everything, to get everything together. And for those of you who have ever planned an event, much less a wedding, you know the serious amount of work that goes into everything.
And you know, 3.5 months, I thought, we can do this because I wanted a small wedding. I wanted an intimate gathering.
Leslie wanted... 50 people max.
Because you do 100 tops.
No, you wanted like 50 people.
Okay.
There was no 100 in your brain.
Well, it's because I thought money-wise, too. Like, I didn't have any money. You didn't have any money.
And you wanted to do it, like, on the beach. You wanted to have a beach ceremony. Mm-hmm. And just kind of very intimate.
Very
kind
simple.
Kind of like the end of 27 Dresses.
Yes.
When they're out
like
there
that.
On the beach.
That's what I wanted.
Minus all the like long lines
of bridesmaids. Yes.
And I was like, yeah, okay, you know, cool. I'm thinking at the start of this, I'm the dude. So I'm just going to, you know, help out as much as the girl wants me to.
Right.
Because that's, you know, you don't step on the bride's toes when you're going to get married. when you're planning a wedding.
But I also am not, wasn't your typical bride.
No, and Leslie's not your typical bride. So 3.5 months, and we had just finished each of us individually getting out of debt.
Mm-hmm.
We just that year.
The only debt you had when we got married was school your debt. School.
And that, I mean, yeah. Nobody expected me to pay that off.
Right.
And so I thought, okay, I don't want to have to go into debt just to get married.
Right.
So I'm kind of techie. I'm a techie dude. I like Excel because I don't math. And Excel will math for you.
Yeah.
If you tell it to. And I'd already been for a couple of years working on a budget and like laying it out.
For your own life.
For myself.
Yeah.
And it worked well for me. Because it was color-coded, and there were different dates, and everything was really specific. So I knew where my money was going. I knew what was happening with it. So when we got engaged and we started talking about planning the wedding, I thought, great, a new Excel file for me to create. And it grew to like 3 or 4 different files.
Exponentially, yes. Yeah.
And it took on a life of its own. It literally just expanded. It was like three different pages, and I didn't want my parents, I didn't want anybody who was involved with the wedding
to go into debt. Mm-hmm.
So I made a plan for myself, for my paycheck, X amount of money is what I'm going to pay towards the wedding. Mm-hmm. And Leslie was really sad because she didn't feel like she was going to be able to contribute.
No.
Why? Like, what was that whole thing about?
Because I didn't make a lot of money.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
What else? Tell them the other reason.
Okay. First of all, I didn't make a lot of money. I was already living paycheck to paycheck. I paid my rent, which was half because I had a roommate. Mm-hmm. So I paid half of all my utilities. And then I was usually left with like $100 tops.
Which, like, you spent on food.
Which.
Going out to eat.
Right. Going out to eat. And I would shop every paycheck. Every
single week.
Right.
Not paycheck. Hold on. Every single week.
Every week. Yeah. Well, I got paid weekly at the time.
Yes.
But I wasn't like spending $100 when I went shopping. Like,
no.
I would spend
$20. Yeah.
Or $25.
Because you had coupons and you had gift cards.
Like, I would buy a shirt or I would buy a dress or I'd buy a pair of shoes. Like, that was my treat to myself. I didn't spend a whole lot of money, you know?
And so Leslie is already thinking, man, I'm not going to be able to take care of this. And I had already, after we got engaged, I took your phone line and I put it on my account.
Right.
And I started paying that bill.
Right.
And then we joined our accounts, our bank accounts.
Was it before or after? It was after. But no, what happened is I told you,
yes.
I said, I'm really sad because I don't have any money to contribute. Like, I have to pay my bills.
Yeah.
And as long as I'm living with my roommate, mm-hmm. I have to pay bills.
Yeah.
You know? So that's where all my money was going.
Uh-huh.
And you took on my Sprint bill.
Yes.
Because you added me to your account.
Mm-hmm.
And so that helped a little bit. But I still was like, what the heck? How am I going to pay for a dress? How am I going to... I mean, my parents didn't have money.
No.
You know, my dad gave me half the money for my dress. Mm-hmm. So instead of paying what we paid for my dress, we only paid half of it, yeah. Which was awesome. But like, I didn't have any money to contribute to getting a haul or paying for caterers
food or decorations, nothing.
I didn't have anything.
And so I told Leslie, well, I've been working on this budget thing for myself. Why don't you give me all your money and I will take care of it. I'll, you know, allot money for the bills and then, you know, whatever's left, like you can have some spending money and then the rest we'll put towards the wedding.
And I was not happy with that at first.
No, you were not.
I cried a little bit.
You sure did.
But mostly because I'd been independent my entire life. Yeah. Like, I mean, from the age of 16 when I started working,
mm-hmm.
I lived with my grandmother for a little while. And then when my grandma passed away, I lived with my aunt and uncle for a while. But I pretty much took care of myself, you know, like they gave me a place to live and a place to sleep. But I bought my own toiletries. I bought whatever stuff I needed. Like I was taking care of me.
Yes.
And then, you know, I got roommates and college. And so I've been taking care of myself for a long time.
Most of your life.
Yeah. And that was what I was used to, taking care of myself, you know. So here I am in love.
30 years old.
Engaged.
Uh-huh.
30 years old.
Well, not quite. You were 29.
I was 29.
Yeah.
No, I was 30.
It was June.
Yeah.
July, August.
I got married when I was 31.
Oh, really? 24,
26. Uh-huh.
You did.
I know how old I was.
That's right. Okay. Okay, my fault. I'm sorry.
I was going to be 31.
Yeah.
So here I was, 31 years old, and I'm like, I don't want to give you my money. This is my money. This is my money.
And I'm like, we're getting married? You know that means your money's our money and my money's our money.
And it didn't take me long, but it did take me a little bit to kind of
readjust
my heart and my thoughts and my mind. And then I was like, okay, fine.
Yep.
So I handed over my money to you. Mm-hmm. And you said, okay, this is what you're going to do with it.
Yeah. And then I did the same thing. My parents definitely wanted to contribute. And I mean, we live in Brownsville. Right. We don't have a lot of money. Mm-mm. You know, people spend like $100,000 on a wedding up like in Crazy Town.
Yeah.
Our budget was nothing close to that.
Mm-mm.
Not even in the same area code.
I wanted us to spend no more than $5,000.
Yeah. It was like out of Texas. It takes 11 hours to drive outside of Texas. Like that's literally like way, way past that. And so Leslie, with her very small intimate wedding, there wasn't going to be a lot of expense in that.
You have a very large family.
I have a very large family.
Plus we had a very large church family.
Yes. Yeah. And that was going to be already over 100 people.
Right.
And in my family, I was the first to get married.
Right.
My brother was the first to have a baby, but I was the first to get married. So my mom had never had a wedding, and she hadn't even been able to really plan her own wedding either.
Mm-hmm.
So there was kind of a, I don't know, like vicariousness in her feelings towards our nuptials. So my mom was like dead set, we need a ballroom, we need catering, we need all this stuff. And beyond that, I grew up as a guy, knowing or being told or just believing that girls want big weddings.
Right.
You know, girls just from the age of one, they're dreaming up their fantasy wedding, and they're going to be rainbows and butterflies and doves and unicorns and God knows what else. And so when Leslie was like, oh, you know, I don't want to, you know, bring too much attention to myself or anything like that, I'm like, Leslie, what other time are you going to bring attention, other than your birthday, which is, you know, once a year.
Right.
When are you going to be like, hey guys, it's about me, your wedding day.
Yeah.
No. You're the bride.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
So, and we had also been watching, oh, no, that was after we got married. So, I knew I wanted Leslie to have not like a huge wedding, but a good sized wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was going to be fun.
Yeah.
And it then was. It helped that my mom wanted that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then.
Your parents were amazing through this whole process.
Oh, my gosh.
They were amazing.
They helped out so much, and not just financially, but so, like I said, we had just gotten out of debt, and I didn't want anybody who was involved with the wedding to go into debt either. So I made a payment plan for my parents.
Right.
And I just, you know, I got their permission, and I said, you know, this is what I'm thinking, and on these days, I'm going to transfer X amount of money from your bank account, because I was also taking care of their finances.
Right, at the time.
At the time, because I was living with them.
Right.
And I'm going to put it into the bank, and I'm going to start making all these payments for the different things, because you have to pay for stuff
right
before the wedding day.
Right.
If you want things to show up on that day, you have to pay for them
ahead of time.
Way in advance.
Yes.
like the ceremony place,
right.
the church or whatever. And so I had an initial budget, mm-hmm. and that swelled.
Yeah.
Because well, of
but
all
you
the
added
things.
But you added everything to it, because like the one thing that was really cool about our budget was that not only were the things that we needed for the wedding on there, mm-hmm. but my dress was on there, your yep. mom's dress was on there, yes. Your brother's and your dad's tuxedos were on there,
all of that got paid there.
Our first month's rent, light bill, like all of our bills were on there.
Yes, our
honeymoon.
All, you know, of that,
all like, of that was
travel.
In there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was all paid for through the wedding budget.
Right.
You know, like the light bills, the setting up the light, paying the month in advance, mm-hmm. and the everything like that for the. I was gonna say the hotel.
Our down payment for our apartment. For deposits for the light bill and all that. Yeah, it was all included.
Yes, I didn't want to have it like be separate, and I wanted to make sure. I also made sure that, you know, when people gave to us, when they donated towards the wedding, like that money went to something
right.
specific and not like specifically for
right.
like our apartment or anything
right.
like
no.
that.
And we had people who like gave for our flowers.
They gave flowers.
Yeah.
Like they didn't give money for it because there was somebody who was like, I want to buy the flowers.
Yes.
So you just tell me what kind of flowers you want and I will take care of it. And I was like, awesome. We had another person who said, I'm going to make the cake.
Yes. We didn't and have to pay for our cake.
We didn't have to pay for the cake or
no,
anything like
and
that.
And it was a really good cake,
It was
too.
Delicious.
And then we had a friend who was a photographer.
Oh, yes.
Man, that was... I remember being stressed about that because I knew how expensive photographers were.
Photography, yeah.
And she was our children's pastor's wife at the time. Mm-hmm. And she said, I will take your photos for you.
Yeah.
And so she did our engagement photos for us for free.
It was so much fun.
And
we laughed so much.
It was also right after we got engaged. So it was like, we were really new at like touching, like hugging and holding hands and
she had to
being
say,
close
like,
to
you
each other.
Get closer. Let's move in here.
Let's move in a little closer now. So it was really fun. I remember that. And then she also took the pictures at our wedding.
At the wedding, yeah, mm-hmm. at the wedding. The picture that's up right now for the podcast mm-hmm. actually came from those engagement pictures.
Yes, it's also on our cards for...
And our cards, yeah, mm-hmm. our business cards.
Yep.
What else would happen? Oh, our wedding rings were paid yes. for on that budget.
Yep.
You know, just everything you can think of. That went into, you know, the invitations, the catering, just all of it.
And it helped that I was like the coupon queen
yes.
and the clearance queen.
Yes. We got so many things on sale.
I made our ring bearer's pillow.
Yeah.
And also decorated the basket for our flower girls.
Yes.
Yeah.
We did it a lot. Off of that budget. And it was really cool. I know, like, the amount mm-hmm. that we spent. And I was very happy. You know, Leslie was able to contribute over, in 3 months, 3.5 months' time, over $1,000 mm-hmm. towards the wedding.
Yeah.
And she didn't think she was going to be able to give, like, a dollar.
No. Nope. I don't think I've ever held $1,000 in my hand at that point in my life, you know? I don't think there had ever been that much money in my account at one time.
So, the engaged photos, it was called To Hold a Memory?
To Hold a Memory yeah. Photography, yeah.
Super cool. And then the invitations.
Yes.
The invitations and who got them.
Yes, our invitations. So, we were at Walmart one day.
We were at Walmart.
We were at
Walmart. Well, because we spend a lot of time at Michael's.
Yes.
And we were looking at stuff.
And they were so... Because we decided we were going to print them ourselves.
Yes. We didn't want to have to send out for them.
No,
order.
Plus...
And there was no Pinterest at this time, guys.
No Pinterest.
No Etsy. Uh-uh. None of this existed. Less since being married and
I've said, like, can we get married again? Because I could totally have a Pinterest Etsy wedding.
So we were at Michael's because that's the place you go to.
Michael's is so expensive. Yeah. And I was like, I love you, Michael's. But that was like the only place we had in Brownsville, too. There wasn't even a Hobby Lobby yet.
No, and we, you know, from Leslie's wanting to have 50 to 100 people at the wedding, the invitations got to over 400 people.
Yes. But not 400 invitations, just 400 people.
Yes.
So, like, so many people per invitation.
Per invitation.
And so one night we were at Walmart, and they had this rolling cart. You know, sometimes at Walmart, they have these carts at the entrance that have, like, clearance the stuff clearance on them. The clearance
discount.
And they had wedding invitations on there.
Really nice ones.
And they were pearlesque.
Pearl. Mm-hmm.
And they have like a really simple decor border mm-hmm. on them. And I was like, these are the ones
very
I want.
Sleek.
They were like $10, I think, for a box of like 50.
Yeah.
And I was like, we're taking these. So and they only had two.
We cleaned them out there. So we hit up every Walmart.
That night.
And we cleaned out Brownsville. And we still were missing some.
Right.
So we ended up going to South Padre Island.
Yeah, Port Isabel. And they had one box. And that was all we needed.
And that's all we needed. And so we were done.
Yeah.
Done
buying
invitations.
I think we spent $50. That was it.
Total. For wedding invitations.
Yeah.
And then I got on the computer and I found a really nice font that mm-hmm. you could read.
Yeah.
And I figured out I'm like I said, I'm techie, and I'm really meticulous when it comes to the way things print out mm-hmm. and the way things look when you're reading it on paper or something mm-hmm. like that. I'm just like, I want it right, and I'm measuring, and that took mm-hmm. me a long time to mm-hmm. get that done. But we finally got them all printed.
Yeah.
And I accepted the fact that, you know, there are going to be some imperfections, but that's all right. I'm not bitter.
And but all the words were spelled right.
Everything was spelled right. So we
talked about the wording, I remember, like, because
yes.
Our parents were both, like, my dad was going to give me away, mm-hmm. and your parents were helping pay for the wedding, yes. although my family really wasn't. But my parents were divorced, so that was really weird, too.
So how do you word that properly?
Right.
We were on Google a lot.
Yeah.
At least Google was around.
Yeah, and so we didn't do the traditional, like, the families of so-and-so and so-and-so. No. Or, you know, we didn't do that because it would have just been too many names because my parents were divorced and yeah. both of them were remarried.
Yeah.
So we just did, like, it was an us. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a wedding that yeah. we're inviting you to. And yeah. it didn't say, like, from our parents no. or whatever.
And it was still, like, wedding speak.
Yes.
But more general.
Mm-hmm.
And who got the invitations?
Mm-hmm.
So I was collecting addresses. We were buying up rolls of stamps.
Mm-hmm.
And we mentioned it in last week's podcast. Mm-hmm. We were sitting in
Burger King
one night licking stamps.
But also because we had Wi-Fi, you get free Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
And it was one of the first places in Brownsville where you could get free Wi-Fi other than Starbucks.
Not because Burger King is delicious or
right.
anything like that. But, you know, it had Wi-Fi and air conditioning.
And it was quiet there, too.
Yes.
Because we were in the playground area.
Yeah.
Set up, and there was no kids, and there was just us.
No. And we were, and they have free refills.
Right.
Drinks. Gotta think about it.
Yeah.
And we were, you know, putting this, they didn't have the sticky stamps, like the ones that you roll, like you just yeah. take it off and then you put it on. Were we licking stamps or was it sticky?
No, they were sticky.
We had sticky rolls. Okay,
yeah.
Good. At least we had that.
Yeah.
But we had to put a stamp on the invitation.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had to put a stamp on the response.
Right. The RSVP.
The RSVP, so they could tell us, you know, yes, they were coming and how many people.
Right.
And I remember near the end, for the family to save on some stamps, we decided, hey, you know, we can just deliver the ones that are in town.
Right.
And I'll have my mom deliver some and mm-hmm. we'll take care of that. You know, she can take it to the family or whatever. So my mom, she takes it upon herself because some people were going to be out of town. Like mm-hmm. some people in the family were going to be out of town
right.
that weekend. They weren't going to be able to make it. And she thinks, oh, okay, I'll just give their invitation to somebody else, to some random person. And well, not random.
Not random, because she knew them and they were part of her life.
Yeah, but they weren't on my list.
Right. Well, you know, hindsight, like looking back at that, like I get like where she made that decision, because she was excited to celebrate our wedding and
yeah.
she wanted people to come and celebrate with us.
But at the time I was livid.
Yeah.
I was like, Mom, this is not your wedding. And that was a really interesting dynamic also. Cause like I said, this was her first family wedding
mm-hmm.
and we ended up having a wedding planner.
Yes.
Right. Oh my gosh. And she's awesome.
She's
amazing.
She's amazing.
She does so many, she coordinates so many things. Mm-hmm. And weddings being like one of the main ones. And so we were really able to deflect a lot of that. Oh, you have a question? You want to do something about the wedding? Ask the wedding planner.
And your mom didn't really want to.
So. No. So then that didn't happen.
Yeah.
but as all of this was happening, as all of this was going down, very, very near the beginning, I started noticing that Leslie just wasn't about really any of it.
It stressed me out. It made me anxious. I should have been on anxiety medication. Like, honestly, like, I really think that I should have been on medication during that time. I was a mess.
And she was snapping at people. Maybe that's why Bridezilla's, like, come into being.
But I wasn't snapping at people because of the things that were happening in my wedding. Because I didn't. I don't want to say I didn't care, because I did. But I didn't want to make those decisions. And there was, like, as I've worked through some of these issues, it's because of the money.
Yeah.
It stressed me out to have, like, knowing that we were spending money on this and spending money on this. And I didn't have money. No. I hadn't had money in my entire life.
Yeah.
You know, like, I grew up poor. I mean, and not, like, super poor, but we didn't have money to spend frivolously.
Yeah, there was no extra.
There was no extra ever. Mm-hmm. And that's just the way that I grew up. So,
yeah.
Even paying bills stressed me out, you know? So all this money, and I was like, and all these people that we're inviting, and I was like having meltdowns left and right.
Yeah. And so it all kind of piled up. And as we were sitting there at Burger King, putting all these stamps on, Leslie's had another mental breakdown. She's already cried once or twice that day.
Yeah.
If not at that table. And I looked at her and I was like, Leslie, why don't you just let me take care of it? Like, let me do the wedding. Mm-hmm. Let me plan the wedding. You just show up to the wedding. I will make all the decisions. Mm-hmm. Unless there's something you absolutely want. I will plan with the wedding planner. I'll coordinate with the wedding planner. I'll get all this money. I'll pay all the bills. Like, I'll just do the wedding. Mm-hmm. And you just be here with me.
Just hold your hand.
I'll just hold your hand. You just hold my hand. That would be good.
And I think that was really one of your first roles, like your husband role.
Husbandly.
Like your husbandly role, like one of the first things that you did, because I was struggling with sanity at the time.
Really? Holding on for dear life.
Yeah.
Please still marry me.
And I did ask you. I think I asked you, are you sure you still want to marry me? I was a basket case. I'm like, yeah, are you sure you want to marry me?
And so here I am. I'm 24 mm-hmm. at the time. Man, and I look at 24-year-olds now and I'm like, what do you know? What did I know? And so I'm 24 and I've never thought about a wedding,
right?
Or, you know, I've wanted to be married all my life, so I knew I wanted to get married. But you know, you kind of have, as a guy, you have this idea that the girl's just gonna take care of everything. And to be fair, like, even going into our marriage, I knew I wanted to help with things. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be a part. Right. I wanted to play a role. I've always been one of those guys who
very involved.
Yes, who wants to be involved? Mm-hmm. Who wants to take part? Especially in stuff like that. So I just, you know, I saw Leslie struggling, saw her flailing about, and I said, I'll do it. I'll take care of it. Mm-hmm. This is not a burden for me. This is actually kind of fun. I like this. Mm-hmm. I like being organized. I like organizing things. I like getting lots of people involved to do things. Not necessarily always for me, but, you know, just getting people together and mm-hmm. being like, hey, this is what we need. Can you do this? That's kind of my personality. So that helped a lot that I was kind of equipped to mm-hmm. do it. Still not. I mean, I got so much help from the wedding planner. I got so much help from my parents, so much help from Pastor Mike and Mary Kay, who mm-hmm. were doing our premarital counseling.
Right.
I just asked so many questions. I was like, hey, so, you know, how does this work? Mm-hmm. I have never lived on my own. I've never taken care of anybody. I've never taken care of myself, really. But how do bills work? How do you shop for an apartment? What does that mean? What does that take? I've never had to set up a light bill or do any of these things. So just really figuring out how to do all of that and then planning the wedding. And for me, that was a really fun time. Mm-hmm. I was really between the two of us. I was so focused on getting the wedding together and getting us there with some sanity that I'm oblivious as it is, but I was really oblivious to what was really going on with other people and maybe what they were feeling. And I was like, well, you know, I'm just happy. We're getting married. Right. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
So like that whole invitations thing, and then your aunt wanting to invite 14 people or bring 14 people with her.
Well, and that was it. We knew. Okay, so we found a venue, a hall.
Los Compadres. I'm pretty sure that's what it's called.
And it held 350 people is what they said. But our list was 450 people.
Yes.
And I was like,
But everybody, literally everybody told us half of the people you invite are not going to show up.
And it was actually, they said 75%.
75%.
75% of the people that you invite will come, 25% will not.
Yeah. So we were right at.
But I was still stressing about it that day. I remember being like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Then also came, as we were doing the invitations, there was we knew we didn't want alcohol at our wedding.
No.
So we put that on there, please no alcohol. Mm-hmm. But we couldn't cut children out because we had a lot of friends who had kids
and we wanted them to be there.
So some people didn't bring their kids after the wedding ceremony, they went and had a babysitter so that they could come and enjoy their time. And that was really cool. But it was, we didn't have any alcohol.
No.
And so I knew that would cut some people out. Cause they were like, oh well, but it was, that was all that wasn't, I remember being stressed about that too. We're going to put this on the invitation, no alcohol, please.
Mm-hmm.
But we were going to stand by that mostly because I had struggled with alcohol.
Me too.
And so I was like, no, I don't want any of that.
No. Mm-hmm. I've been to plenty quinceañeras and weddings that were, marred by the existence of alcohol in the area. Yeah. And then we had our wedding shower.
Yes.
It was a joint wedding shower.
It was a co-ed. Really
cool. Co-ed.
Co-ed wedding shower. We had two. Well, we had one. Your mom threw me one.
Yes.
And that was all women. And it was all of her side of the family and on my aunt's and my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, it was at the same place where our wedding was actually at, but in the restaurant part of it. I was really sick. I remember I had a really bad cold.
Yeah.
I was miserable that day.
Because it's pretty warm in the.
It was warm in there too, and I know there's some photos, and I'm just you can tell I'm just sweating. I was not feeling well. It was hot in there, but it was so nice of your mom to throw that for me. And then we had our co-ed shower that our bridal party threw for us, and our church family,
and that was themed.
Yes, it was Renaissance themed.
Yeah.
And so
I had the Three Musketeers.
Right, that Miss Hesterberg made your costume, and I made mine.
It was so cool.
And it was really hot, too.
Well, it was pretty thick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember. It was an awesome costume.
I spent $30 to make it.
Yeah.
I bought a pattern. I bought material. And then
you sewed it yourself.
Yeah, I sewed it myself.
I thought I was super impressed. I thought that was super cool. Your friend Michelle came down, and she had a really nice dress, too.
Mm-hmm. And our friends, I never got one of those invitations, but apparently they handmade our invitations. They did an amazing job.
Yeah.
Our invitations look like little scrolls.
Yes.
Is what I was told. I didn't get to see one.
I didn't see any either.
Yeah, but they were little scrolls that you would open up. They got people together from the church and made us basically a feast.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big feast. I think there was turkey and I don't know, mashed potato. There was all kinds of stuff. And it was all so delicious.
Oh man.
It was really cool. It was a really great time. We played some games. We had the, it was a game where you were blindfolded.
Yeah. I was just going to say that
all the women got in line and you had to touch their hands.
And some men. And some men. So I'm blindfolded and everybody's, forming line and I have to with just my the feeling of in my hands, feel their hands and say, yes, this is Leslie, or no, this is not Leslie.
Right.
Oh my gosh. That I'd barely been able to hold Leslie's hand for like a month.
Right.
So it was really, really hard and really nerve-wracking. Because what if I said no? Like, what if I said, this isn't Leslie, and, you know, I got it wrong?
Well, you got it down to the last two. It was me.
Well, my top 10, there was a guy in there.
Right.
In the top 10. I just, let me say that.
Yeah.
With his girly hands.
Yeah.
And so finally, in the top five, he was out.
No, he was there.
Not in the top five.
No. Okay.
I know it was the top 10. Maybe he was in the top five.
Right.
But I got it down to three.
Yes.
I get down to
one
three.
Was me.
One was you. One was Sue.
Yes, she's very old. An old, old lady.
And one was, I don't know who else. And so it got down to two. And it was Leslie and this old lady. And by this time, blood is just surging in my brain. Because I don't want to get it wrong. And people have already been laughing. And, you know, you're blindfolded. And it's just, And so, finally, I make a decision, and...
It wasn't me.
It wasn't Leslie.
It was the old lady.
So embarrassed.
Well, it's funny, because I know it was embarrassing for you, but it was embarrassing for me, too.
For you?
Yeah.
I thought it was super embarrassing for her.
No.
She was all red.
Oh, no. No, it was embarrassing. I know it was embarrassing for you, but it was embarrassing for me, because you got it wrong. It was just the real showmanship of my control issues, like, was the beginning of the showmanship of it, because I was in denial about my control issues.
Oh, yeah.
And my codependency issues.
And so, you know, we're going along, everything's coming out really well. I went to go try on my tuxedo with John. I ended up getting suspenders because I just thought that was so cool. And they let me keep my suspenders.
Mm-hmm.
I asked them if I could keep them.
Yeah.
I've only used them like once or twice since then. But I just thought, nobody in our area gets married with suspenders. There was no hipster back then.
At the time, no.
Yeah, there was such a thing as there was the rumor of hipster.
Yeah.
Like in California or something. But there were no hipsters in the valley.
Well, that we knew of.
That we knew of.
Yeah. There were greasers.
There were greasers for sure. And that's different. I mean, that kind of melded with the hipster mentality. What with like the hair gel and the beards and whatnot. But no hipster thing. And I wasn't even thinking it was hipster. I just thought, oh, this is cool. This is fun. This is different. Nobody wears, you know, suspenders. So let's do that. It's very 80s is what I was thinking.
You're so funny.
And, you know, trying on my tuxedo and just being like, man, I'm going to get married. And my cousins are getting tuxedos and my brothers, my family, all of that. It was really crazy.
Yeah.
And then...
So after that shower, the week before I got married... Of the week
you moved into the apartment.
No, I had my before I moved into the apartment. The women, a lot of women from our church, and the women from my bridal, bridal
party.
They threw me a lingerie shower,
a panty party.
Could you not say that word, please?
Just the one time. That's what it was.
It was a lingerie shower. They threw me a lingerie shower, and. It was really cool. It's not until after I was married, and had been married for a little bit did I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah.
I
appreciated it right away.
I know you did. But it was really cool because when I looked back on it, I realized, okay, so when we got married, like, I had a lot of relationships already. You know, I wasn't a virgin when we got married.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd made a lot of mistakes in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And after I gave my life to Jesus, one of my biggest fears was what man is going to want me? Mm-hmm. What Christian man is going to want me, you know? Mm-hmm. And I didn't always, like, I remember being in college and not having a pure mind, not, you know, like, it just wasn't...
Being dirty.
Yeah. And then after I gave my life to Jesus, like, God changed a lot of things in me. And I hadn't ever really been exposed to a lingerie shower ever, I don't think. I was like, you throw parties for this? Okay. But I, like, seeing pictures from my lingerie shower, like...
You were blushing.
I was blushing.
The whole time.
And I, when I look back on these photos, I thought to myself, like, wow, I was a blushing bride. Like, God renewed my heart, renewed my spirit, like, just changed me. And I wasn't really able to see that until later, you know? It was really cool because I was super embarrassed and I know everyone enjoyed it. But it was a really cool party and it was like great food and everybody brought me presents and it was just really neat. And I just, so now I love to do that for other people. Like it's one of, because I felt beautiful, I felt loved.
Yeah.
And the women that were there encouraged me, you know?
And they also, I mean, I really... really like when, as Christians, we talk about sex in a healthy way.
Right.
Because a lot of people, I mean, when they think of Christians, they're like, oh, no, they don't, like, purer than thou, holier than thou. Right. They don't, you know, like, close doors with all the lights off. That's when that happens and nobody talks about it. Right. No, but, I mean, God created sex.
Right.
You know? And it's a wonderful thing when you're married. And when you talk about it in a healthy way, like you're telling people this is a part of life.
Right.
This is what God designed it for.
Right.
And this is the healthy way to talk about it.
Right.
You know?
And so it was really cool
Don't
for me.
Don't feel shame.
Right. It was really cool for me because these women who had, some of those girls were single, but most of them were married. And they had encouraging things to say about marriage and... You know, they just, it was really cool. It was a really neat experience. Yeah. And so I love to do that for people now. Like all of a lot, most of our friends who have gotten married since then, like I've been the one to throw their lingerie shower.
Yeah.
And I like to do it because it, I want them to feel beautiful. I want them to feel special. I want them to be encouraged in that walk that's about to, that journey that's about to start for them, you know? So I like to do that too. That's a fun thing that I like to do. People always think like, I've had a couple of people tell me like, when I get married, will you throw me my lingerie shower? I'm like, of course.
Yes.
And so I have done, I've probably done like four or five.
Yeah.
Which has always been fun. So.
Excuse me. Another thing that, I don't know if it was another co-ed, did we have another co-ed event?
No.
I'm not sure.
No.
But I think I was, we were at another, I don't know when it happened, but we were at a co-ed event, wedding shower. And there was this lady that came to our church and one of her, I want to say ritual things to do, but one of her things that like, this is her thing was making this basket.
Oh, that was at our shower.
Oh, okay.
That was at our shower. Yeah. She did this whole, like, she bought us a bunch of stuff and then told us.
What it was for,
and like put biblical, like put like scripture with it, and it was really neat.
There was a broom, and this is what it's for.
Yes,
and we used
everything,
all of that stuff. And let me tell you something. In that basket was this little set of paring knives.
Yep,
there was like a plastic orange handle, a plastic green handle,
and a yellow one.
And a plastic yellow handle. There were three. It was like a set.
Yep.
And God knows what, I mean, she
put together this just amazing thing.
So there's this ladies' mate tool box thing that was in it, and we still use that. I still have that. But these knives,
were the only knives we had.
The only knives that we owned.
For like 6 months after we got married.
Yes. We use these knives for everything.
Yep.
To cut meat, to cut vegetables, to cut fruit.
That was all we had.
We had no knives. For people who are designated foodies now.
Well, but we weren't then.
At the time.
At the time
but
we
I'm just saying, like, what humble beginnings we had.
We still have one
we
of those knives.
We still have one.
One
and
of those
we
knives.
Use it all the time. And every time I use that knife, I'm like, we got this way back when.
It's a 9-year-old knife.
And it's still going.
Yep.
We've never sharpened it.
Never.
It still cuts things. Like, what magical person made these knives?
I know.
And then, I don't know. I just, the whole aspect of that, that thing that she put together and did, I just loved it. I thought that was
great. And she does it still, like, for people when they get married, like, she puts together this whole thing.
That's her thing. Yeah. I liked it a lot. I really appreciated it. And then we get to, I mean, there wasn't a lot other, like, other than just the planning and mm-hmm. getting everything together, finalizing the details. And I just remember I kept thinking as the days progressed, just like, oh my gosh, I'm getting married.
Yeah.
I'm getting married. And then the wedding rehearsal.
Yes.
So my parents are late.
All the time, normally. Actually, not so much anymore.
No, they've gotten much better.
Yeah.
But they were late
to
the wedding rehearsal because of my brothers, or I don't know.
One of your brothers was coming in from out of town and we're waiting. They were picking him up or waiting for him or something.
Yeah. And we're standing there in the church. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't BCF. It was another church.
Yeah, because we didn't have a pretty church.
Yeah, it wasn't. This place had like stained glass windows and
it was really all that pretty.
Kind of, yeah. And when they got there, I told them, you will not be late to my wedding, because if you are late, I will start without you. My wedding starts at 4 o'clock and I will be walking out of the room at 4 o'clock. And if you are not there, you will miss it.
Yep.
And our wedding started at 4 o'clock.
It did.
I walked out of the little back room and then Leslie came in. Everybody was there.
Yeah.
My mom was there. My dad was there. My brothers were there. It was...
Well, your brothers were part of the party, so...
Exactly. But so we get to the wedding rehearsal. We tell them that. And it went pretty well. You know, it was a pretty easy, fluid...
Fluid. I think the only thing we practiced a couple of times was the walking down the aisle with my dad. No, we didn't. The walking down the aisle with my dad. Because my dad had part of his foot amputated.
Yeah.
So he couldn't walk real fast. But we had it, like, timed. And I remember, like, in the practice... Oh, I'm talking about this because today's Saturday, the 19th. Mm-hmm. And my niece, one of my stepsister's daughter, or stepbrother's daughter, my stepbrother's daughter... Brittany got married today.
Aww.
And I got to see it live on Facebook.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And it brought tears to my eyes. It reminded me of my, you know, like just, but I was also sad for her because my dad wasn't there. And my dad was
a big part of her life.
And they had this table out with like photos of all the people who had passed and their lives. My dad's picture was on there. And so I got real teary eyed when I was watching it on Facebook, but, it's a great memory for me. Like, The fact that my dad walked me down the aisle, because for so long, that wasn't what I wanted. And I remember telling people, like, no, I'm going to get my uncle to walk me down the aisle. Mm-hmm. Or I'm going to get my grandpa to walk me down the aisle. But my dad's not.
Yeah.
But God had restored part of my relationship with my father at that point. And he walked me down the aisle.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful that he could, and he did. But he had part of his foot amputated. And so he couldn't walk real fast. And so I was like, okay, Dad, we have this much time. And look, listen. So, and it was like an acoustic guitar that was playing. And I was like, we have to get to the end of the aisle by the time we get to the end this of section. That.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay. So, you know, we booked it as fast as Dad could move down the aisle. And it was really cool. And so that's another good memory for me, like of the wedding, like of my dad. So I've been thinking about him a lot today. I miss him.
I remember. I mean, it was all just really cool. Just having our family there with us.
Yeah. Somebody gave me advice at the rehearsal dinner.
Okay.
And they said, make sure that tomorrow when you're standing at the end of the aisle, getting ready to walk to the front, that you take a breath and that you look around at the people who are in the pews.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, that's silly. Of course, why wouldn't I do that? But you're really not thinking about it. And so it did stay in the back of my mind. And so when I was standing at the end of the aisle, I got to look around.
Yeah.
And it was really neat. And I can still picture all the faces, which is really a really cool memory for me. So.
And then we didn't have a lot of money. So we weren't going out to eat after the rehearsal for the dinner part. And my mom ended up having, and we discussed maybe having the wedding at my parents' house in Los Fresnos.
In the backyard.
But it was like, the rain season, so mm-hmm. we thought, no, you know, it's just going to be better.
Yeah.
And my mom made this brisket.
Yeah. It was amazing.
That was so good. I couldn't stop eating it.
It was my first experience of your mom's brisket.
Yeah.
And it was delicious. Mom, if you're listening, you need to make us some brisket.
Make me brisket. And it was delicious. So everybody came over to my parents' house in Los Fresnos. And it was just, you know, food and laughter.
And it was my maid of honor's birthday.
Yes.
So we celebrated. So we had a cake for her. We celebrated with her.
And so then, like, Leslie was going to leave.
Yeah. I was going to go to our apartment. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was going to stay there at my parents' house. And then, you know, all my stuff was already moved over.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a bed anymore because Leslie had the bed. I was sleeping on a futon. And my little brother was back. So we ended up sleeping on the futon together. And then I woke up. I think I woke up between my brothers. No, I was just with my little brother, Adam. But anyway, so Leslie's getting ready to go. Like, we're ramping down the night. And Leslie, I don't remember the order of the events, but I knew that I wanted to give Leslie a letter.
Mm-hmm.
For, like, so that she
could read. We had talked about, like, giving each other a letter before.
For that night. Yeah.
Because we were going to say goodbye, and then we wouldn't see each other all day the next day.
All day, until we got married.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't like to write stuff down by hand,
mm-hmm.
because, especially in pen, but I like pencil because you can erase it.
Mm-hmm.
I like typing things out because you can copy and paste, you can, like, rearrange, you can, you know, move it around. I don't know, my brain just works better that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I sat down, like, the day before, and I typed it out on this, and I typed it out and I printed it,
uh-huh.
but when it came time to like really give the letter to Leslie, I was like, this is so impersonal,
mm-hmm.
you know, it being typed out. Like, I don't want to do that. So I ran to the room and I got this journal that I had and I yanked out some pages and I wrote it down mm-hmm. on the page. And then I yanked out another page and I made like a little envelope
yep.
for the letter.
Yep.
And Leslie was just asking me tonight, did you just think of this as it was happening? A, no. And B, it would not have been that pretty. There would have been so many crossing out things. Like, mm-hmm. I spelled everything right. There was no anything like that. And when did you write yours?
I wrote mine probably 2 or 3 days before.
Yeah. You're so...
That's just early who bird I am.
Gets the worm.
Mm-hmm.
But we have them.
Yeah.
And we want to share them with you guys.
Yeah. You want me to go first?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is a letter that I gave to Aaron on the night of our rehearsal dinner. My dearest love, it's finally here. Today, you and I become husband and wife. Because we weren't supposed to read these until the next morning.
Yes.
It seems like just yesterday I was slurping down a smoothie while you told me that you had feelings for me. I love that through our entire relationship, even at the moment that I met you, God already had plans. Isn't that amazing? Not everyone gets to experience relationships the way that we have, and I'm ever so grateful for the almighty hand that has been our guide all the way through. My heart is so filled with joy today, knowing that we won't ever have to be apart. Even in death, we'll get to spend eternity in heaven with our Lord. Today, as we look into each other's eyes, repeat our vows, pledge our love, exchange the rings that symbolize our unending commitment, and share our first kiss as husband and wife, know that I have absolutely no doubts. Sorry. or feel any kind of anxiety. It hasn't been a more perfect day for me so far. I know that is God's gift to us too. I know that our life together will not be perfect, but I know it will be ever so good because we have God. I promise to stand beside you, encourage you, support you, adore you, and love you more than anything tangible here on earth. I can't wait to see your face today. I can't wait to hold your hands, and I can't wait to feel your lips against mine after we say I do. I've been waiting for this day all my life and praying for the man God had for me for so long, and he finally answered my prayers. I love you so much. See you at the end of the aisle. Love, Leslie Rangel, your soon-to-be wife.
The last time you wrote
Rangel. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I wrote, Leslie, I'm so excited for tomorrow. I find myself impatient. I want to be married to you already. I find myself grateful. Grateful to God for creating you, bringing you into my life, and growing in us a relationship and love we can hold on to and cherish until the day we die. As I tried my tuxedo on today, I found myself nervous and shaky. However, it wasn't fear or terror that shook me. It was excitement and eagerness that ran through me. I couldn't believe that this was the tuxedo I was going to marry you in. Trying on the actual tuxedo made everything that much more real to me. I know I've told you before, but I can't wait to wake up next to you. The idea of waking up with the woman I love lying next to me is one of the best things that I can think of. I'm thankful for the time we've spent apart, though. I'm thankful for it because it's made me acutely aware of the profound privilege it is to experience all the things that come from being together. These things I will treasure for the rest of my life. Hugging you, kissing you, holding you in my arms, whispering in your ear, sharing my love with you, looking into your beautiful eyes, the smell of your warm skin, the softness of your hair, and the sweetness of your voice and musical laugh. This list, I'm sure, will only continue to grow. I want you to remember something as we await tomorrow. I love you and want to spend the rest of my life with you. The wedding is only a small part in the larger picture of the rest of our lives. It's a party that we share with our friends and family in celebration of our union. So, when something invariably goes wrong, we can smile and laugh knowing that, although the party won't be perfect, the memories we take with us will last for a lifetime, and more importantly, our lifetime together. As I write this, I have no sense of nervousness, no sinking feeling in the pit of my stomach, no second thoughts. I have no doubts in my mind. You are the woman I want to marry. You will be the person I place before all others. You are the woman of my heart. Look for me tomorrow. I'll be the guy at the end of the walkway in the tuxedo. I can't wait to see you, kiss you, hold you, and never have to let you go. I love you. Aaron, your soon-to-be husband.
I'm so glad that we saved those. You know, like, I'm going to have to, like, take a picture of them and put them on Instagram.
Yeah.
And just so you guys know, like, we pulled these letters out of their respective areas and we hadn't read them till just this moment, which is why I was like all teary, all emotional.
So the next day I wake up and I go to grab some more of that delicious brisket and I look out my parents' back bay windows because they're huge windows. And what do I see but like a small city of tents? That sprung up overnight.
Wedding crashers from Austin.
And my brother's friends just happened to come into town and they're like, oh, we have tents. You know, we're going to set up in their back lawn. Good thing we didn't have the wedding there. And then these guys ended up coming to the wedding. And I was just, so.
These things though, like, I just kind of expect them now. I remember being like, who are those people?
And I was like, I don't know. They're not eating food, or somebody gave up their plate so they could, so those people could eat. It was hilarious. And it was really cool because one of my good friends, Bo, he came to pick me up. You know, we had lunch or something, and then he took me to the church. And it was just like, he just took care of it. Like, he was just, he made sure I was okay. He made sure I had what I needed. And it was just really cool having Bo be there for me and know that, like, you know, this is going to be okay. Mm-hmm. You know, this is going to be good. Like, ridiculous things are happening and it's all right.
Yeah. And you know, for me, that night, my bridesmaid stayed the night at the house.
Uh-huh.
And we woke up in the morning and we made breakfast.
Yeah.
And then I went to get a manicure and a pedicure. Mm-hmm. I went to get a manicure and a pedicure. My mom went with me. And I wasn't going to get a manicure. I just wanted to keep them like basic. I just wanted them natural.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady who gave me my pedicure said, you're getting married today? And she, you know, in her Asian accent, She's like, you're getting married today. She says, no, you're getting your fingernails done because your hands are going to come out in photos. Yeah. And it's something I hadn't even thought about that. Like, no idea. And I was like, well, can I just get them clear? And she's like, no, they're not going to look pretty clear. She's like, I'm going to give you, she gave that to me. And I didn't even know this lady, but she gave me a manicure for free. And so she did a French tip manicure.
Yeah.
And, I'm so grateful that she did because my hands came out in all the pictures.
Because you're wearing the ring.
Exactly. But it wasn't anything I had thought of.
No.
I didn't have anybody in my life telling me like, hey, make sure you get your hands done, you know? And so I went from there and then I went to get my makeup done at MAC.
Yeah.
And then...
And somebody paid for that too.
Yes. My friend Debbie paid for that because she was like, she gave me so much money. She's like, you have to spend this much money on makeup. So they'll do your makeup and then you just buy whatever you want to touch up. And I was like, awesome. So I did that. And then I got my hair done.
Yeah.
Actually, I think I got my hair done first, then my nails, and then your makeup. The makeup. Mm-hmm. And then we headed over to the church. Mm-hmm. My bridesmaids already had my dress and everything. So we got to the church. And
there was no AC in the room or something.
Oh my gosh. No, it was, there was an AC, but it wasn't on.
Yeah, it was off.
It was off. And then they turned it on and I was like dying in there. But I was okay until my mom started talking. Okay. And I know I've said this before, my mom and I had a very strained relationship. And as much as God had already started to move and build it back together, like, she kind of always said the wrong things.
Yeah.
And so I remember, so we're at the church and I'm about to get my dress on. My photographer is there and she's taking photos of my maid of honor helping me get dressed. And my mom is there too. And she's like, okay, I'm going to go. My photographer said, I'm going to go get your dad. So now that you've got your dress on. So I was just like, I'm just going to touch up my makeup. And I'm standing there touching up my makeup and my maid of honor is standing there with me. And my mom said something. I can't even remember what she said, but it upset me so much. I like put on ignore mode. I didn't even want to talk to her. And my maid of honor knew that I was upset. And she's like, okay, I'm going to go find, she was going to go do something. And I was like, don't leave me alone with this woman. I was so mad. I did not want to be in that room with my mom. And she's like, Leslie, I'll be right back. And I was just so mad. I remember being livid. And so then my dad came and everything was fine.
Yeah.
And so our photographer got pictures of me with my dad or whatever. And then we got ready to get married. And probably another one of my great memories is standing in the hallway outside of the church doors.
The foyer. Yeah.
In the foyer with
your dad.
Because you were already out there.
Yeah.
And so it was all of our bridal party. Mm-hmm. And standing there in front of me. And I'm standing there with my dad. And we're waiting. And
because they close the doors.
Yeah.
They let the bridal party walk out.
And but so you wouldn't see me.
And then they close the doors again. Yeah. And I'm like, what? So it's this like
beautiful grand release. Entrance. Yeah. Yeah. But my dad looked over at me and he said, you look absolutely beautiful. And our friend Criselda was standing in front of me because her little boy was the ring bearer. And she's like, don't cry. Don't cry. All your makeup. And I was like sitting there like fanning my eyes because I was going to die. Because it was a big deal for my dad to say those words to me, you know? And
to your daddy.
Yeah. And so I was just like, ugh. So that's another great memory from my day. And then, of course, we walked out and we made it to the end of the aisle by the end of the song.
You. Yeah.
And
Tony Barba played and sang the winning song.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It was so beautiful. Mm-hmm. He just played the heck out of it. And
I'm really sad because there is, okay, so we had a wedding video done, but there was no audio.
It was just video.
So you can't even hear it. And oh, I'm like, there's no Tony Barba. I can't hear him.
But it was amazing. And you just seeing you walk down the aisle and you wearing your dress. Cause I hadn't seen you in your dress yet. And I was like, wow.
Oh, and there was so much drama with my dress too. I cried about my dress, but not that day. It was before. Ladies, if you're going to get married in a church, sometimes churches have a dress code.
policy.
A dress policy. And so my dress wasn't revealing, but it was a halter. So mm-hmm.
It had open shoulders.
And so I had already bought the dress. Mm-hmm. And then my pastor said, you have to cover your shoulders.
Yeah.
And I was like, how am I going to do that? And it wasn't going to look good with like a cardigan on top.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember being so upset, but I couldn't return my dress. And so we went and they put this like bolero on it, like, and it had like snaps, so it would snap into the dress, and so it didn't look really awkward. It was really, it ended up being really pretty.
The fact that it was torturing you.
and then I just took it off. One wasn't torturing me.
No, there was something that was just digging into your back.
That was the corset.
Oh, okay.
The corset bra that was underneath.
Yeah.
Because it was strapless, but it went all the way to the back. And so I remember like halfway through
the wedding ceremony, the reception.
The reception, I went to the restroom with my maid of honor and I said, can you please take this off? So I took it off. My dress fit well enough to where I didn't really need it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I got through as much of the party as I could and then I had to take it off because it was cutting into my skin.
Yeah, it was. You had a scar for a while.
Mm-hmm. you know, another bit of advice, if you're going to get married at the church, like, make sure that you find out what the dress policy is before you buy your dress.
Yeah.
And if you're going to wear something that's strapless, then you'll have to have something that covers until, you know. Mm-hmm. But just be sure that you do that. Yeah. That's my bit of advice.
And you had some nice shoes on, mm-hmm. but a friend of ours bet you that you wouldn't wear Converse
your wedding. He said, I'll give you $100 if you wear Converse under your wedding dress.
And so at the reception, you did. Mm-hmm. You changed your shoes. I put on Converse also?
I don't remember.
Or did I just keep on my shoes? Well, the ceremony was wonderful. I remember we started at 4, you know, like I said, we were going to do. And we were married in like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Because we said we don't want any of the extra fluff.
All we did was we had the gospel was shared.
Mm-hmm.
And we did our vows.
Yes.
And we were done.
Amen.
Amen.
I now pronounce you man and wife.
Yep.
And we were off and we took pictures and finally made it to the ceremony. We were able to have the dinner and the food was really good.
Yeah.
And
it wasn't anything like the tasting though.
The tasting was the best because he made that.
Yeah.
And some other person made that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, wedding food isn't always great.
Yeah.
This was okay.
It was all right.
And
our cake was awesome.
It was so good.
It was so good.
And I shoved it in my mouth.
I'm going to have to contact her. Maybe she can make us a cake for our 10-year.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
And then, it was so pretty in the ballroom. The wedding planner had done such an amazing job.
Yes, because she did amazing because all I said to her was, I don't care what you do. I just want it to be fall.
And it was gorgeous.
And it was beautiful. Like
the fall colors were everywhere. Mm-hmm. I loved it.
Yeah.
And then I remember like dancing with you, dancing with our friends, dancing mm-hmm. with my mom, yeah. you dancing with your dad. Mm-hmm. And that was a big deal trying to like find the right song to dance with your...
With my dad because I hadn't had a relationship with him. I was daddy's girl as a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And then my parents got divorced and I didn't have really a relationship with him.
Yeah,
like,
he was gone.
You know, I had conversations. I would call him once a week or once a month or something. So we ended up choosing a song by the Rascal Flatts called, it's that song that, My Wish for You.
Yes.
I don't know what it's called. And
My Wish, probably.
Something like that.
It's My Wish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then our wedding song was The Thief by Brooke Fraser.
Such a good song.
And
we put a link on the notes before.
Yeah. And yeah. You danced with your mom. What a Wonderful World? What a Wonderful
World? No, it's a Mama song.
Oh, Mama. Yeah.
Not the Bohemian Rhapsody.
Not the Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
No.
That would have been terrible. No, it was like Boys to Men or something like that. Mom, you know I love you. Mom, you're the queen of my heart or whatever. Yeah. It was a cute song.
Yeah. And then our send-off song was Come Away With Me.
Yeah.
Come away with me.
And, you know, just like I predicted, the wedding was not perfect. You know, there were these bumps that we've talked about already. And at the reception, there were people who didn't belong there. You know, just random people showing up.
And when we were leaving, we realized people were drinking.
They were going out to the parking lot, drinking.
Filling their cups.
And then coming back in. And as we were leaving, they, like, sinvergüenza is the Spanish term.
Without
and it
shame.
Means without shame. But it's better to say it in Spanish. Sinvergüenza. They were walking in with the jugs. Not the jugs. The
six packs.
The six packs and the ice chests.
Yeah. And but I was like, whatever.
We're like, we're gone.
We're leaving.
We're leaving. And it was already like 10:30.
It was 10:30.
And they stayed till like midnight dancing and like drinking and
that's
stuff.
That's good. They had a party. Whatever.
They had fun. Great. And we went to our home.
Mm-hmm.
So our first apartment together. And it was, oh man, it was so crazy. Just like that whole day.
Yeah.
And then we were married.
And then we were married.
And for months, we just, like, as we would get ready for sleep and just mm-hmm. laying in bed. And
or wake
over,
up in the morning and be like, this we're isn't married. Wrong. We're married. Yeah. Yeah.
Ah, love.
Ah, love. And here we are on the cusp of 9 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We still get on each other's nerves.
Mm-hmm.
We still say stupid things, mostly me.
Sometimes I say stupid things.
Yeah, sometimes. I don't think I'm supposed to admit that, though.
Oh.
No.
Well, that makes you better.
And, being able to talk about our wedding and, like, everything that happened and not have this, like, sad feeling or any, like, regret. Like, everything that happened happened for a reason, and mm-hmm. it was just really cool. Like, your mom, like, my parents giving your mom wine.
No, it wasn't wine. They were little bottles of alcohol. My mom said that she chugged this tiny little bottle of alcohol. And you know what? It was probably good that she did because it kept her from biting back at me that day. Mm-hmm. But she was drunk at the reception, which is why she didn't show up in hardly any of my pictures. I didn't, like, talk to her, like, at all at the reception. I don't remember talking to her at all. But she was apparently drunk. I found out later.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But we have so many pictures and so many memories.
Mm-hmm.
The guys from my band, the high school band, they danced with me. Mm-hmm. Just like a
big circle.
Big circle of us. And we were just like holding each other.
Yeah, because we did the dollar dance.
Yeah.
And I don't know if other cultures do it. I know it's a big thing in the Hispanic culture mm-hmm. to have a dollar dance. And people come and dance with you and they give you money.
Yeah, they pay to dance with you.
They pay to dance with you. And so, and then that money is, you use it for your honeymoon or whatever. Oh, yeah. So I think we walked out there with like $300 for our honeymoon, which was nice. Oh, okay.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah.
It was more than that. But then, you know, like when you get married, people are just super generous and mm-hmm. everything that everybody gave, we were just so grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody gave me a lot of money. A lot of money. And they said, Aaron, I want you, when you go on your honeymoon, to take this a lot of money. And I want you to buy Leslie something special.
Like a wedding gift.
Yeah, a wedding gift. And that's what I want you to use it for. And I was like, oh, okay. And so we went to Kay's Jeweler mm-hmm. while we were up in San Antonio. And I bought Leslie this beautiful diamond cross.
Still have it.
And she never had a cross before, mm-mm. you know, a cross necklace.
Or diamonds in a
or
cross.
Or diamonds. And now she had, like, I don't know how many diamonds on her finger. And it was just a really, like, wonderful experience to be, like, loved on
mm-hmm.
by other people.
Yep. Most definitely.
It was cool. And that was, you know, everything. That was the wedding. That was... I don't think there were any other points that we wanted to hit on or talk about.
I think that's everything.
If you're planning to get married, definitely involve somebody who has that organizational thing, because mm-hmm. that's just going to give you sanity.
Oh my goodness, yes. If you can't afford a wedding planner, have a friend who just helps you out.
Yeah.
Because there's no way. I would have gotten married and been sane
the whole time.
So, because that's the one thing I was so grateful for was all the work that our wedding planner did. And she helped make sure that the night moved.
Yeah.
You know, like we had an MC, we had a DJ.
Yeah.
And God bless us with that too, because we didn't have to pay. We didn't have to pay for a DJ.
No.
There were so many things that God blessed us with, you know, like our wedding planner, she was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Our DJ, like, he didn't charge us anything, and he was just so happy to, like, do it.
Oh, man. You know? He went and he bought a Wayavetta.
Yeah. And he also sang at our wedding, Mr. Barba.
Yeah.
And then Pastor Mike was our MC.
Yeah.
And that was really cool, too.
We were able to, like, sit down and eat and enjoy ourselves.
Yeah.
It was a great night. Mm-hmm. And
it wouldn't have been possible without all the people who loved us so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, so many people gave and did things for us that it was incredible. Like I said, just to feel the love from the people in your world, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so when, you know, if you're planning to get married, definitely get people involved, if you have people. It's about you guys. You know, it's about the bride, it's about the groom, but it's also the celebration of it all with the people in your world who love you.
Right. And I think, you know, it was really cool too. I know that the people who gave and did those things, they were celebrating us, but they weren't just celebrating us. They were celebrating the purpose that God had for our marriage.
Yeah.
You know, like, just the way we're born into this world for a reason, like, God puts us in people's lives. God brings us together. You know, he brings married people together for a reason, for a purpose.
Yeah.
And so they weren't just celebrating our marriage. No. Like, they were celebrating the purpose that God had for us to be one.
Yeah.
What was God going to use us for? How is God going to use us? So it's been really cool, like, in the past almost 9 years now, the way that we've been able to serve together and serve others together. And, you know, we get to lead worship together on Friday nights.
Yeah.
And
a lot of things that people did for us, we've been able to do for other people. Like,
yeah.
You know, those ladies threw you the lingerie shower, and now that's become one of your, like, favorite things to do for friends of ours who are getting married. I like, you know, Bo was there for me.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't even my best man.
Your brother was, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and he was there. And so I've been able to be there for my friends that have been getting married and making sure they they get places on time, that they eat,
yeah.
You know, that they get dressed and, you know, just all these things. And
we've also decorated their apartments, yes. And their homes for when they get home from the wedding that night, making sure they have, like, snacks
and food.
Food and water and things like that. Yeah.
Because we didn't have any food. you know, things that you learn as you go through that you're able to use for other people later to bless them with. And that's been a really cool thing for us to be able to give back, because of what people gave us at our wedding.
And what we learned.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I love you.
I love you.
So can you believe that our podcast is 40 episodes old?
41.
This is 40.
One.
40.
One.
Aaron.
It says 41 at the top here.
No, my love. The last one that we did, you said it was 40 and it was 39.
No.
Yes.
No. We don't have time.
Oh, we do have time.
Hold on.
Episode 39, the one where I was right.
Seriously?
Yes, Aaron. This is episode 40. We said it at the beginning.
What is the matter with me?
I don't know. But if someone would like to tell us what's wrong with Aaron, you can send us an email at sothisislove@yahoo.com.
I'm just going to stop. Get the numbers. I'm just going to let you remember them.
And you can find us on Facebook at So This Is Love Podcast. Also on Instagram at So This Is Love Podcast. And on Twitter at So This Is Love 10.
I even put 41 on the file.
Yeah, no. Episode 40. Can you believe that our podcast is 40 episodes old?
It's 40 episodes? Oh my gosh. Thank you for joining us again. Thank you for coming back, everybody. We hope your week has been good. Lots of crazy stuff happening with us, but good things, all good things. And please, you know, like Alyssa said, shoot us an email if you happen to listen on iTunes. Please leave us a rate and review us. That'll help us get in the podience.
The podience, to get some podience going. You know, feel free to share our podcast with someone. Just share an episode with someone, a random one.
And we're still discovering really cool podcasts out there. Like Leslie was listening to one today.
Today I listened to 36 Questions. It is a podcast musical. And it has three acts. I really liked it. I didn't like the third act too much, but yeah. I did like the first and second act a whole lot. And then I also just finished listening to The Bright Sessions.
Yeah, which, you were addicted to that.
Well, because I was just like...
No, guys. Like, Leslie came home and she still had her headphones on. And we're going to sleep last night and she's still listening to it. And Leslie starts snoring because she's gone and she is still listening to the podcast. It's ridiculous. But anyway, we hope you guys enjoyed it. Us talking about our wedding and everything like that. And we hope you guys have a great week.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.